After coming to Christ, nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. You understand the love of God? He'll take even your mistakes and rewind them and massage them into something that's good. Genesis 50 and verse 20 says that. What the devil meant for evil, God has meant for good. So God's gonna work. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which means you say, well, this is the end. God says, no, if you'll give it to me, I'll make it a beginning. Because I am the beginning and the end. I can turn stuff around.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. It's always good to express our thankfulness to God, to be grateful for all of His blessings. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us the importance of thanking Him in advance, even when the answer seems a million miles away. Thanking Him then is the mark of true faith. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Power of Gratefulness.
It's not always easy to be thankful because it's not a natural tendency. I mean, how many times with our kids, when they're given something, what do parents have to say? Say thank you. Yeah, I say that to my son Aaron all the time. Say thank you. He's 42. But we have to, it's something you have to practice. It's easy to slip into your old default, as is this humorous story. There's a brand new pastor just out of seminary. He goes to a rural church and in this country town, and he comes to church one morning to go to his office, get ready for service, when he finds a dead donkey in the parking lot, dead donkey. And he thinks, what do I do with this dead donkey? So he calls the county. And the answering service answers because there's nobody in the county, you know, on Sunday. And the answering service says, well, I don't know what to do with a dead donkey, Pastor. Call the mayor. He says, call the mayor. Yeah, but I want to warn you, he's really belligerent. He's mad. He's always yelling at people. He says, well, I got to call somebody. So he rings up the mayor, and the mayor says, hello. He says, yeah, there's a dead donkey in my parking lot. What do I do? He says, what are you doing calling me? It's Sunday morning, you crazy man. And he starts yelling at this pastor. And he says, but it's in a church parking lot, a mayor, and people are coming for service. You idiot, what are you calling me for? By the way, aren't you a pastor? Yes. Isn't it your responsibility to bury the dead? And the pastor's a little flustered, and he said, yes, sir, but it's always our rule to call the next of kin first. Thankfulness is something we have to practice because it doesn't come inherently. And today I want to talk to you about the power of gratefulness, the power of gratefulness. I want to read a portion of Scripture, and then you'll read the last verse with me. But let me read to you the story of 10 lepers in the book of Luke chapter 17. Here's the story. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Now let's read together. It'll be on the board and also in your notes. Would you read this nice and loudly? Would you? Go. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go. Your faith, your what has made you well? Your, did you know that thankfulness to Jesus was a mark of this man's faith? It wasn't just an emotional response for getting something that he wanted. It was a mark of his faith. I wonder if Jesus doesn't sometimes rate us that way. That how thankful we are tells him about the level of our faith. Can we express thanks? I mean, it's like, when was the last time we wrote a thank you note? When was the last time we wrote an email enumerating how someone else has blessed us? We almost have gotten into a society where that's not done very much. Why? Because it's not natural. It's something we must learn. But I want you to know today that if you'll catch the power of gratefulness, your faith will grow. It's amazing. Jesus says this in Paul the Apostle says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give what? Not necessarily for, because there's some setbacks that you're emotionally scarred by or cut by, but in the midst of that, he says, in everything, regardless, good, bad, or indifferent, in everything give what? Why? Because that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the enemy wants to attack you through your possessions, through your comfort zone, through certain things that he brings against you? He wants to attack you. In fact, the book of Proverbs says it this way. Listen carefully. It says, a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? See, a lot of times the devil comes and steals your stuff. Why? Because I set my heart on my stuff, and his goal is to break my spirit, not to steal my stuff. Because if we can have a bunch of people in the body of Christ with broken spirits, then we're victims, see? We're always like, oh, on the defense. Well, I can't do this. I can't do that because... And he breaks our spirit. What God wants us to know today is that the power of gratefulness actually protects our spirit in everything. Give thanks. But it's not natural. We have to learn it. And if you'll learn it, I tell you, today it'll be a game changer for you. It really will be. You know, I've always been pursued by a phrase. It stalked me. Haunted me. When someone once said to me, Wayne, you have to remember this. What would it be like if you got up this morning and the only things you had left was what you had thanked God for yesterday? How much would we have? You see, what the enemy wants us to do is to quit being a people of thankfulness, because Jesus is looking just like at that leper. Great is your faith. According to your faith, what did he do? He thanked God. That was it. And the Lord says, do you know that that's an expression of your faith? See, the devil doesn't mind if we have faith. Just don't express it. Just don't use it. Don't practice it. Just keep it quiet. But here I want you to know the power of expressing gratefulness. It really is something that will be a game changer. That's why when that phrase, what would it be like, Wayne, if all you had left today was what you had thanked God for yesterday? I thought, oh, man, I better start thanking God. So believe it or not, each morning I hit my knees, I get on my knees, and I start thanking God for the things that, you know, in priority, what I'm thankful for. I say, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for my horse. Thank you for my children. And kind of in that order. Did you know that studies have shown that the most joy-filled people are the most grateful people? And the ones who are chronically unhappy are those that are hardly ever thankful. They don't say thank you very much. They don't write thank you notes. They're just like a cul-de-sac. Just give me more, and they consume more and more. But it needs to be practiced, because it's not inherent in us. It's not something natural. Once you come to Christ, you need to practice in everything. Start giving thanks, for this is the will of God. Okay, I didn't learn this before, so I need to start learning. Wait, where do you start? Here it is. Here's where I start. Number one, would you write down somewhere? Start thanking God for your past. I'm going to pause for a second. You know why? Because when I say start by thanking God for our past, for your past, some of your minds immediately go to the bad stuff. Why should I thank him for that? That person did wrong. Why should I thank him for the past? You see, that proves the fact that our minds usually go to what's wrong. Do you know that we often forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget? Our minds have been conditioned that way, and we have to unlearn that. Alvin Toffler said it well. He said, those that are going to be the literate of the 21st century will not be those who can read or write. Those who are going to be the literate of the 21st century will be those who can learn, unlearn, and relearn. There's some things we have to unlearn. We have to discard. We have to get rid of. But on the good side, you know, when I look back on my life, I see God's goodness all along the way. We can see that. Even when I made mistakes, God covered me and turned it out for good. How many times do you think God opened a door of opportunity for you just at the right time? When he opened a door, an open door flung open, and you didn't deserve it, but you were at the right place at the right time, the right person was there, gave you favor, and you got what you got. If you think about it, there's a lot that we have that we don't deserve. It wasn't because of us, and we had nothing to do with it on our own. But it's not a coincidence that you have what you have. Not at all. Because you're not where you are because of yourself. Did you know that even before you were born, God was working on your behalf? Jeremiah 1 says that. Before I was born, God knew me. He knew me by name. And God said to me, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations when you were yet in your mother's womb. Do you know that before you even were known, God was working on your behalf? And if you take a look at your more recent life, there's probably a grandparent that prayed over you, a parent that spoke faith over you, spoke life when you were yet a baby. I see dads that lay hands on their wife's tummy and they pray for that little unborn baby. I wonder how much favor is in our life because someone else planted a seed of faith. And God will never allow a seed to be invested without a harvest. And all of the prayers and all of the faith and all the belief that was given to you by your parents, your grandparents, other relatives, and now you're reaping what you have not sown. Because God never lets a seed be sown without a harvest. I mean, even my wife constantly reminds me that even before she knew me, she was praying for her future husband. Yeah, she'd say, Lord, if he's not saved, save him. What she didn't do, and she should have added, was, Lord, if he's not tall, grow him. But she didn't. And I'm always just stoked by this scripture in 1 Corinthians 4:7, and it reminds me of being thankful. It says, what do you have that you have not received? I mean, take a look around. What did we have? Well, some people say, well, wait a minute. I worked hard on my business. I built it by pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. Yeah, but that's where Deuteronomy 8:18 comes in. And it says this, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God gave you the brains. God gave you the ability, the competency, because that couldn't have been you, but God did give that to you. And yet we think it effectuates from us when really we need to thank God because we did not get where we are by ourselves. But Wayne, what about if there's some sour notes in our past? There's some checkered parts of our past. Absolutely. I mean, most of us have checkered pasts. You're not alone. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Somebody has gone through more. And sometimes we think, oh man, before I was a pastor, I was a youth pastor for 10 years here in this community. And one evening with the youth group, I said, hey, listen, some of you don't like your past. Yeah. So I want you to write down the worst things about your life that you don't like. Like, you know, your parents make you clean your room and you have to eat everything on your plate and wash your own dishes and terrible things like that. So write down stuff that you just like, and then we'll just give it to God. We're going to have a barrel up front. You just throw it in there. It's like God's going to change all of that. However, you have a choice. You can either write those down and say, God, would you work this for good? Or you can put it in the barrel with all the other people that are throwing their bad stuff in there. But when you throw yours in, you have to randomly pick out someone else and that becomes yours. And they thought, no way. Yeah, you see, you can't change your past, but you can sure give it to Jesus and let him use it for good. That's exactly what he says in Romans 8:28. For he will work all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Remember this, after coming to Christ now, after coming to Christ, nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. Do you understand the love of God? He'll take even your mistakes and rewind them and massage them into something that's good. Genesis 50 and verse 20 says that. What the devil meant for evil, God has meant for good. So God's going to work. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which means you say, well, this is the end. God says, no, if you'll give it to me, I'll make it a beginning. Because I am the beginning and the end. I can turn stuff around. You just have to entrust it to me and not hang on to it. You don't need to change the bad. Just don't rehearse the bad. Sometimes we just focus on the bad. No, focus on the good. You remember when we used, how many of you remember the Instamatic camera with the little flash cube that turned? How many of you remember that? Yeah, you're aged. I remember taking that, and they had cartridges, remember that? And I'd take the cartridge into a photo finisher, no digital, photo finisher, and then I'd get back prints. And so you get, you know, two or three rolls, you might have 50 prints, pictures, and then you have a thing called a photo album. I know it sounds old, but a photo album. And so you would go through the pictures, and you have to choose what pictures go into the photo album, because not all of them can go into it. So remember how you do it? I'd look at it and go, ooh, that one makes me look fat. Ah, that one, I got food in my mouth. Ooh, my hair is messy. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and you throw the 50 pictures, you have like four in your photo album that makes you look like Baywatch, you know? It's like, oh, that's cool. And you continue that until you fill up the photo album. What'd you do? You disregarded, you tossed out all of the bad and you kept the good. Why? So that when you go to your memory pages, your photo album, everything is, whoo, look at me and my past. Do you know that we do that with photo albums, but we don't do that with our minds and our hearts? We often forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. You see, you can't change your past, but you don't have to rehearse it. You can start thinking about the things that are good, because every single one of us will have bad pictures in our photos. But it's you to choose which ones you're going to remember. And often, we remember the worst. And we rehearse them. We dwell on them. And that's why the Bible says it this way. Would you read it here? It's almost like Paul is coming to the end of his distilling, a conclusion. And he says this, finally, would you read it? Go. Finally, brethren, or brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or think about these things. Or in other translations, it says, dwell on these things. Ruminate on these things. Rehearse these things that are right. All of us are going to have negative stuff. Don't dwell on them. It's sure it's going to be there. But if you'll give it to God, He'll weave it into something good for you, and you dwell on the stuff that He tells you to dwell on. Makes all the difference in the world. Let's continue. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into, and the God of peace, put it into. We have to practice thanksgiving, even though it's tough. Did you know that the psalmist David says, I will offer a sacrifice of praise? And I ruminated on that. I scratched my head thinking, a sacrifice of praise? What do you mean a sacrifice? Then I began to understand. See, it's easy to praise and thank when something really good happens. But when you're doing your best and things aren't turning out right and you still give thanks, it's called a sacrifice of praise. Not many of us give a sacrifice of praise. Most of us just give thanks when something good goes our way. But Job, in Job chapter 2, his wife says, Job, you're just all icky. You're sicky. You look ugly. You got boils. Why don't you just curse God and die? No, lovely wife. I tell you, she's amazing. But his answer is even more lovely. He says, girl, this is my translation, girl. He said, should we thank God just for good stuff and not for tough, bad stuff? And the Bible says this, and all through this, Job did not sin with his lips. I thought, wow, you were someone who never lost your praise. Never lost your praise. I thought, that's it. Remember in Proverbs 18, it says, a man can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit he cannot bear. See, the devil's going to come to break your spirit. And Job was going through all kinds of stuff, but he says, he's not going to break my spirit. The devil's not going to break my spirit. And so he gave thanks in everything, because that's the will of God. And if you read to the end of the story, God rewarded him with twice what he ever had. It's like, wow, God never lets a seed be sown without an abundant harvest. Oh, this is a game changer. Well, Wayne, I prayed for stuff. Mm-hmm. Jesus did too. But here is going to be level two. The first is this, thank God for your past. But you want to go into the next level of faith? You've prayed. Now switch gears. Here it is. Thank him in advance. When you don't see the results, when you haven't seen the conclusion, when your prayers still haven't yet been answered, thank him in advance. Flip the switch to praise from prayer. Flip the switch. Let's read what it says in Mark 11:24. Would you read it with me? Go. Therefore, I tell you, watch this, whatever you ask for in prayer, here it is, believe that you have and it will be. In other words, what the scripture is saying is when you pray, believe that it's on your way. Do you remember Daniel? Daniel prayed and the angel came to him because Daniel was saying, what's going on? I prayed. 3 weeks later, an angel appears and says, Daniel. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. Before you say anything, how come I prayed and nothing happened? Daniel. What? The day you prayed, God dispatched angels on your behalf. There was a ton of spiritual warfare that had to take place in order to fulfill your request. And since the first day you prayed, we've been working hard on your behalf. Now, 3 weeks later, it comes to pass. But when you prayed, it activated. Listen, praying when you receive something like an answer to your prayer, rather praising, when you say thank you to God after you've received something you've prayed for, that's expected. But when you thank God before your prayer is even answered, that's called faith. Switch gears from prayer to praise. Thank him in advance for healing. God, I need this taken care of. Thank God for provision. Start thanking him. Because he's already heard your prayer for wholeness. Thank him in advance. Thank him in advance when he's bringing you out of a problem, though you don't see it yet. Thank him in advance. Did you know even Jesus did this? There was a day when they told Jesus, hey, Lazarus, your buddy, died. He's in the tomb. And the Lord says to his disciples, all right, let's go. Oh, no, Lord, he did. No, let's go. He's not dead. No, he did. No, he gets there. It's 4 days he's been in the tomb. And he says, I'm going to bring Lazarus out. And people thought he was crazy. In fact, one person, you read it in the Bible, it says, no, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. I like that. You stinketh. And the Lord says, oh, no. And then he says something that's very interesting. He stands before the tomb. He looks up into heaven and he said this, Father, I thank thee that you have already heard my prayer. But for the benefit of these, I pray this out loud. Isn't that interesting? He's not dead. All I have to do now is call him forth. He's alive. And with a loud voice, he cries, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes out. He was alive. Wow. But for the sake of these, so that they will believe, I say this out loud. But Father, I know you already heard my prayer. Interesting. Jesus felt it was very important to thank God in advance. Thank God. Remember, if I wait to thank God till after something has been delivered, that's expected. But if I thank God in advance before he answers my prayers, that's called faith.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Power of Gratefulness by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. And we are very grateful to you for tuning our way. Thank you for listening. During this season of Thanksgiving, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
After coming to Christ, nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. He'll take even your mistakes and rewind them and massage them into something that's good. Genesis 50 and verse 20 says that. What the devil meant for evil, God has meant for good. So God's gonna work. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which means you say, well, this is the end. God says, no, if you'll give it to me, I'll make it a beginning. Because I am the beginning and the end. I can turn stuff around.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have an amazing day in the Lord. Aloha.